267, a day late, but no dollars short. I promise you that. We got merch store that goes live. We're talking Minnesota recap, Alex Padilla, the end of the game. Why weren't we trying to score a touchdown? Well, maybe we were. We're going to break all that down and just get to all of the juicy stuff that happened this past weekend. And we're glad you're here. Let's sit back, relax, and have a night. Let's go.
Welcome back, episode whatever, 260 whatever. Seven. The introduction to the introduction of this podcast has my mind currently so frazzled that I don't even know where to start. But this is the 8-2 podcast. This is the we might be on to something. It was at that point where we were talking about a couple weeks ago where, oh, we might be on to something, or is that next week?
It's sort of just these last 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay, well, the Building Momentum podcast.
Yeah.
Here on the Wash of Walk-Ons. And I think the morale is pretty high around here. I was able to catch most of the second half of that game. It was not that I was like intending to just fade the Hawks. I was at jiu-jitsu. I was trained jiu-jitsu, and then jiu-jitsu was a little bit of a ways away driving home. I texted Kevin not to like troll when I said, what is the score? I genuinely wanted to know because I was about to leave jiu-jitsu and I had like a 30-minute drive home to think about what could be happening at that point of the game. And then I got home, watched the second half, turned it on, looked terrible. For the first part of the second half, I turned it back off to watch UFC because we went 3-and-out and then Jack Campbell looked like he was getting ejected. And so at that point, I was just like, you know what? I'll get back out of here and I'm going to turn this over to Kluver, stop rambling, and he's going to tell you about the first half of this whole game.
Jack Campbell was – yeah, he almost got ejected.
I thought he was getting ejected.
And they picked it up pretty quickly, so that was good. I want to quickly, you guys are hearing this on Tuesday. Many of you are. And Kevin and Drake, you'll be happy or unhappy to know, I don't know, one way or the other, that a lot of the fans thought that something happened to us. The first message I got at like 6 a.m. was, where's the pod? You guys okay? Like, just you guys okay? Question mark. It's like, no, all three of us. Just ran ourselves.
If we ever go missing, we at least have people checking in on us.
Right. Yeah, the
at 6 a.m. Monday morning.
Yeah, because the pod comes out at midnight of Monday.
Dude, I had an entire introduction planned about like why you were gone, why this podcast was coming out late, how like we were going to – I was going to give my condolences to Lauren and her family because, you know, tough time. But – you guys just fried my brain when the music was hitting. So
I hit
Drake. There are my condolences to Lauren and her family.
It's appreciated. For those listening, I went, we went to the Minnesota game. Fantastic tailgate, by the way, as always, by the Wards. Even better because Bo Bauer and his lady were there. It was a fantastic little get together that made my heart truly warm. Bo is just an all-time human, and every time you get to spend a moment with him, it's treasure. And
our boy Sauce Meister was there as well.
Sauce and Marshall Kane Train showed up at the tailgate as well. Yeah.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah,
squad,
dude.
Drake.
So Drake shows up at a tailgate and we get beat. Those boys show up at a tailgate and we win. You guys.
No one ever liked me around there anyways. And that's why I'll just keep my sorry ass away.
Yeah. So you guys draw the correlatives. That game finished. And boy, it didn't finish quite like a lot of fans would like it to. Believe me, we're going to talk about it. Okay. Cause it's the only goddamn thing you guys asked about. Please talk about the end of the game. Please talk about the clock management.
So here's the thing. was it 2015 where LaShawn – it was 2015. We ran 24M. LaShawn cut back, found the scene.
Should have gone down.
And Kevin Ward was on the sideline screaming after he scored. We hadn't even kicked the extra point yet. He's like, why the fuck didn't he go down? What? Why are we scoring? Just go down and we kneel and we win.
Sarah Water. I mean,
it ended up being that we did need to recover an onside kick to secure that game. Yeah. So yeah, like at Kevin kind of had shit that
day. Yeah, we did.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, the defense.
So, yeah, you gave them the ball back. They scored in like 40 seconds and onside kick. If they recover that onside kick, we probably lose that game. That's just, we just weren't stopping anybody. Luckily, the offense was on their stuff. So that was the thing about 2015 is when one side of the ball wasn't playing so hot, we always had the other side to pick them up. So offense won us a few games that year. Defense won us a few games that year. But I don't know where you're going with clock management on that, but you can get back to it.
We'll get there. We'll get there in a second, Drake. I just want to quickly finish the weekend. We finished that game. I got in the car. We drove to Cedar Rapids. I did the post game radio show. Thank you guys for tuning in and participating in that. For those who do and follow me on Twitter, always fun. We woke up at 6 a.m. in Cedar Rapids at the Kirkwood, and there was no power in the hotel. There was no power. So we woke up. The lights wouldn't turn on. I'm pissing in the dark. Lauren couldn't, you know, blow dry her hair and straighten her hair. So we got straight on the road. Made a
four star hotel can't have that. You gotta get a little bit of a refund there.
We'll see. The plan was to drive straight from Cedar Rapids to Nebraska, about 5 hour drive. Unfortunately, Lauren's grandma passed away last week, Wednesday. And she lived a great life, 95 years. That's a long fucking time. So shout out Irma.
That's a lot longer than most can ask for.
Way long. Drake, I was thinking about it actually during the funeral. I thought of you, Drake, and I thought, you know what? On tonight's podcast, I'm going to ask Drake what he thinks the odds are of him making it to 95.
You know what? It all depends on what they can do in medicine in the coming years
with brain
or regenerative brain.
Yeah.
That's it. If there's some way for them to put stem cells in my cerebrospinal fluid and regrow some of the parts of the brain that may have been damaged by repetitive concussive forces, then I might be doing all right because I know my heart, respiratory system, everything is great. So cardiovascularly, take me to the moon, daddy-o. But I just don't know about what's happening in my cranial cavity.
Yeah. Kevin, get on that. You're the resident doctor here. Anyway, funeral, rosary, you know, the whole Catholic thing. It was my first experience of a rosary and the whole deal. So it was a great time. Kevin, Catholic Church,
That was your first rosary?
Yeah, it was my first rosary. Hail Mary.
The funeral rosary is oftentimes a bit lengthy.
They don't cut any fat. Let's just say that it's, you know, they hang around and they make sure they get their words in. So we did all of that today and we drove straight from Nebraska Sunday morning. The boys and I usually record this thing right before Sunday night football. Well, we were at the rosary visitation and all of family was getting together. We were at family's house. So we just weren't able to do it. It's the first podcast we haven't uploaded on a Monday or Thursday normal time in I think over a year. So, you know, we're back here on Tuesday and here we are.
That means we earned a day off, Kluber. You earned it.
I didn't earn anything. What we did earn is a chance to buy and rep some sick merch before we get back to the clock management. The merch goes live today. You're listening to this. The merch goes live today. This hat that I'm wearing that has been requested by many, this hat you'll be able to purchase. Tight End U, you'll be able to purchase. Hawks by a Million, you'll be able to purchase. Both of those, you'll be able to purchase in kids' sizes. Okay?
Honestly make a Tight End U hat.
We should. I don't know if we could fit the little characters on there, but we could put TEU on there.
TEU, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that might conflict with the old George's their trademarks and stuff for the camp. Mm. They're in. Yeah. So got to be careful with the orientation there, but we could figure something
maybe
out.
Maybe I can talk to a couple people.
Maybe. Lots of cool merchandise. 10 a.m. Tuesday, the 16th of November. You're going to have 1 week to purchase so that we can get this stuff to you beautiful people by Christmas. Okay. Kid sizes for two of the more popular items, a ton of stuff. Let's have a day. Tight end you. Three different Hawks by Millions by a Million designs. You guys are going to be able to find that at www.adcraftstoreswebstores.com/washedupwalkonsholiday2021. Now that's a long URL. I didn't make it. So here's an easier way. Go to the Washed Up Walk-Ons Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook page. Click through to our website. You'll be able to find the link through there. Thank you guys for supporting. As always, half of that's going to the kids. Beautiful. Got that out of the way. Let's go back to some clock management. The number one thing asked about, even more so than Padilla's first start, which we'll talk about that here as well. I left because, again, I had, you know, to get to Cedar Rapids, to get out of the traffic around Kinnick Stadium. I leave to make sure I can get to the radio show. We come on right after Dolph. So I left right after that fourth down stop on the 2 or 3 yard line. You guys can, Kevin, you can remind me, but I believe at this moment there's 2.5 or 3 minutes left in the game. I'm going to pull that up. So
you get the ball with just over 2 minutes and 18 seconds left.
Okay.
And I also leave because the game should have been over.
Right.
Because it was on the 3 yard line.
Yes. Okay.
Here we go. 2 minutes left. And I think they had one. How many, two timeouts left? They had two timeouts, I think.
I think they only had one at that point. So, yeah.
Maybe they just had one, correct. And my understanding is, I'm just, again, I left because the game should have been over.
Interesting.
We went quarterback sneak.
It says timeout Iowa, actually. On
yeah, the I don't know why it says timeout Iowa there.
I don't either. But then we ran it again for 1 yard to the 2, and Minnesota calls their last timeout with 90 seconds left on the clock. And then on third and goal, we run Goodson to the left, which was to set up a field goal at this point. And he actually lost 4 yards on this play.
It was ugly.
And then we take a delay of game to decrease the angle at which Caleb Shudak, for anybody listening, when you get that close as a kicker, the angle actually decreases and there's less of the posts are, they're closer together. Right. So we back it up. So Shudak has a little bit better chance. And I guess Padilla in the post game press conference said, and this could be just his way of processing it verbally. He said, we weren't actively trying to score there. And I don't think that by any means the direction from KF was, hey, we're not trying to score here, because obviously that puts us up 9. And that's it. That wins us the game. We're looking at.
But is that not a similar situation to the 2015? If we score with about 2 minutes left.
It is, but when they got the ball back this time, so Goodson runs it on that third down to the 6, and then we take a penalty. And when we take that penalty to stop the clock, fourth down, we kick a field goal. There's only 44 seconds on the clock. So they would then be theoretically down 9 with about 45 seconds. They'd have to get the kickoff, go down, score a touchdown, get the – so it, I think – in this moment,
right, but where is the question and the anger coming from in the clock management? Did they, which QB sneak did they not like? Was it the second one? And then did they not like running Goodson on third down to try and score, but if he doesn't, the clock continues to run? Like, which part are they mad about?
So from what I
just watched it. They took a timeout at the end of the play clock. The ESPN thing was wrong. They didn't take it 2 minutes. So they QB sneak, running the 40 seconds off, timeout at 1:33.
Okay.
QB sneak again, get it to the 2. Minnesota takes a timeout right away, as they should.
They're last.
their last time out. Correct. So that puts it at third down. So now they're like, hey, there's the possibility that we throw a pass and try to get a touchdown, stop the clock for them. Obviously, we don't do that, which I believe is, yeah, there's no clock management issue.
It's not clock management. It's a play calling issue. Sorry. That's more.
So here, let me give an idea here and you guys can spitball this. Our best offensive lineman by far is our center. And sometimes in our running game, the weak links come when somewhere in the chain, a lot of penetration comes in and the running back is completely thrown off. He's going sideways, no forward momentum, boom, the play stopped dead in the backfield. That can't happen with a quarterback sneak. There's not going to be an exchange issue. It's just a center quarterback exchange. We trust our quarterback's ball handling, and there's very, very little opportunity for somebody to break the chain when it's just a wedge block.
And Linderbaum is our most trusted guy.
I mean, our QB sneaks have been strong, and it's not. And then so here, this is what the part that I wanted to bring up when I saw in the Discord all the questions.
Which, by the way, real quick, shout out to the Walk on Army Discord. I didn't know that this was going to be so juicy and such
Discord's fun.
Such a great development of the Patreon Walk on Army, but I guess I'm behind the game, man. I'm not cool. I've never been in a Discord server before. It's our own little Walk on Army chat room. Continue, Drake.
Okay, so after that 2015 game when LeSean scored, as an offense, we implemented a new system called Grind. And it was a three-part system. There was Grind, there was Grind to the five, and there was Grind get down. So Grind just simply meant we're running our offense, but stay in bounds and we're not in a hurry, right? Take the play clock. Don't go out of bounds if you can stay in bounds, but just play football. If you score, you score. That's Grind. Grind to the five is like the situation that LeSean was in. Grind to the five was put in after LeSean scored in 2015, because that means, boom, if you break free, it's you and God on the way to the end zone. You're going to celebrate and pour champagne that night, slide, be a team player. That's grind to the five. And then grind get down is like legitimate end of the game. We're only looking to get the ball across the first down line and nothing else. And as soon as you get past that line, dive on your face and we're going to go celebrate in the showers. Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, don't tell them about our shower parties, but
this is the longest yard podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
So yeah, so you were in.
So I don't see there's no clock management issue here, in my opinion. Actually, I was surprised that Minnesota went for it on the fourth down on their own 3 yard line with 2 minutes and change left, and the way that our offense was not beat, could not run the ball.
Oh yeah,
I would have punted it if I was PJ Fleck.
Yeah, well here's the other thing is, yeah man, it's weird because this all gets back to the way that KF likes to play football, right? He does not care if it looks 1 out of 10 sexy, does not care. Right. So if we quarterback sneak clocks running, they just run out of time. We kick a field goal with the ball at 1st and 3. Like, he doesn't care. He's simply trying to get that clock to say zeros. Right.
Right. And honestly, I don't hate the first quarterback sneak call. Like, it's an ultra conservative play, which we usually are able to get 1 yard on. I don't think they're expecting it right away on the 3 yard line.
Right.
A 1 yard run right there is a win. Okay. You do it again, another 1 yard run is a win. It's a 3rd and goal on the 1 now.
I'm with Drake here. And I think the idea here is we've talked about our running game. I mean, we can look at the stats, boys.
It's horrible. We have not been able to establish a running game since we played Maryland, I don't think.
Here's the box. Tyler Goodson, 18 carries for 59 yards. Tracy had a run for 5. Gavin had a run for 4. Padilla ran it 4 times or pulled it down 4 times for 3. And Keegan had 1 for no gain. We ran
25 attempts for 71 yards, 2.8 yards a rush. And then we ran an actual running play in third down. You saw how that went.
And so, and that's what I'm getting at is,
we're absolutely not throwing the ball there.
No, thank you. So here's the logic, fandom of people who think, what do we call here? You don't want exchanges, right? You want something that, like Drake said, if we could just have the one quarterback exchange from the center, that's taking out variables where we possibly turn the ball over, right? You're definitely not throwing the ball. Definitely not throwing the ball. So that takes out everything, okay? And Minnesota also knows that we're definitely not throwing the ball, right? So they now have, I didn't see, again, I wasn't there, but I'm guessing they had 7 with their hand in the ground, maybe 8.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to talk about alternative plays you could have called, maybe a little quarterback bootleg, you know, they're selling out for the run.
And we did that with CJ against Minnesota in that 2015.
We did. Right. Exactly. And again, the worst case scenario that happens, you lose 5 yards. Well, you're still a chip shot field goal.
Worst case scenario.
Let me ask you this, on a quarterback bootleg, because
it's the end man on the line of scrimmage. And if he does his job, the play is stopped. But so many times you'll see it happen where they're juiced up to stop that guy because there's a super short distance and they get a little nosy and Padilla is a kind of a quick dude.
Let me ask you about the rules though, Kevin. If we're like on the 2 yard line, because the lineman can't technically go downfield on a fake run play, if the quarterback boots out,
pocket, there's no passing option. It is just a quarterback bootleg for run.
But he can't throw it away.
No, absolutely. God,
no. Because then it stops the clock.
I mean, you can run the pass play, but you are telling Padilla not to throw it unless he is wide open.
Now,
gotcha.
So then you look at that and you say, okay, well, all of this goes down. We're gonna run the ball. So here's our options. We run straight up the gut with a QB draw or a QB sneak.
QB sneak.
We give it to Goodson and he goes up the same hole or he tries to get a hole on the outside. But hey, guess what? They're double manning every gap. That's just how our offensive line is going to perform in that situation. So like Kevin said, you see us try and run a play with Goodson on third down and we get negative 4 yards because they know it's coming. So
it's not so much they know it's coming. We just legitimately could not run block at all.
Right. And that's just,
You can still only put one man in a gap. You need guys to win. You need guys who are blocking to win.
And who's the one guy that
could not win?
And who's the one guy that's going to win? Lindy's going to win versus one. Now he probably had 2 or 3 on him by the time the play got going, but.
And listen, Lindy and Shooter on a wedge block is a really strong wedge.
It's the strongest option we have.
You take Lindy, Shooter, and our quarterback with the fullback coming behind. I mean, to be honest.
That's the strongest option we have.
I don't see a better option from the 3 yard line.
It is sad. And Kevin, that's what people don't want to admit mid game, or they don't want to. I'm not sitting here defending it. What I'm saying is, this is not good. Like this is a bad deal for Iowa. Like if we need that play to work, say somehow we do make it to the Big Ten championship or we're going to go to a bowl game, we need that damn play. We're not as confident as we were when Blythe and James Daniels and Ike and Sean Welsh were on the line. And that's unfortunate, but for that situation, that's all you're running with this Iowa team. And yes, that sucks.
And it also sucks because the situation dictates that Minnesota knows we're not throwing.
Correct.
So those guys are keyed in playing down.
So it's exponentially worse. Yeah. Right. So any more thoughts on that? Because I think we all kind of came to the same conclusion there and that it's,
I guess I just asked a little bit too much leaving with 2 minutes left in the game. We have the three going in. Should have stuck around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Because I get back out to the tailgate and the game is still on. I'm like, why is the game still on? Why are we kicking field goal right now? Why does Minnesota have the ball? Why is Minnesota on the 50-yard line?
Didn't like that. Didn't like that. Didn't
like it. Ends up okay. We win. It depends what you got the spread at, if you covered or not. But Jesus.
Speaking of quick betting recap, the boys did well again this weekend. Boys did well. Drake 2-1. New York.
Besides Purdue, dude, can you believe that us three assholes had the audacity to bet on Purdue as a podcast pick after they've shit down our necks for 6 years? And we thought that they were going to stop shitting down our necks. Are you kidding me? We're stupid.
I didn't know.
Bro, as soon as we made it the pod consensus pick, it was a lock. It was a lock to lose.
It was a lock for Ohio State. And honestly, we said that. So
we did say that.
We can't be held liable because we told you actually what the result was going to be.
Clue, you were the smart guy. You just took the over knowing Purdue would score points, but Ohio State would score a hell of a lot more points.
Didn't know they were going to score 59 themselves. Holy shit, way over 62. So that one hit. Wake Forest rebounded and won. That one hit. And oh my God, Washington State, you dirty dogs. Lost by 14, and I took them plus 13.5. Oh, not only that, but I fell asleep Saturday night and they were like tied 14-14 with Oregon. So I thought we had a chance. Kev, 3-0.
Take it.
Take it, huh?
We'll take it. Purdue cost me a 5-team parlay, but we'll take it.
Nice. And then Drake had the Jets, who aren't trash, but you also took Packers -3. They won 17-0. And you took Dallas for a rebound week, and they actually murdered the Falcons.
And I want to just sit here and let everybody recognize that I took Purdue and the New York Jets.
That's where we're at.
I'm stupid as shit, and that's it.
Okay. And that's it. Final word. Let's take a break real quick, and when we come back, we're gonna dissect a little bit more of Alex Padilla outside of that final drive there. And we're back. Alex Padilla, hey, you're the guy. Which, by the way, he's also the guy this week, which lends me to believe that he's going to be the guy for the rest of the year. Because every game that he gets under his belt, the more the coaching staff can say to Spencer, hey, you know, we've gone with Alex and we're kind of in a rhythm here.
We're not going to... Are we in a rhythm?
Well, are we more in a rhythm than we were in the fourth quarter versus Wisconsin?
I mean, yeah.
I wouldn't call it a rhythm, but it's
I wouldn't call it a rhythm.
It's a better spot than we were.
You know, 277 yards versus middle of the pack Big Ten defense.
11 of 24 for Alex. Not exactly a and granted, a couple drops in there. Weren't his fault.
Couple drops for sure.
From
a couple
Keegan
really nice
Johnson.
Passes, but I wouldn't exactly say, you know, the so engine's what, running, you know.
Right.
Like he's got a tune-up.
Yeah, no, I don't think we put premium fuel in the tank, right?
To be honest, I think we put diesel in the cocksucker and blew the engine up.
Ruin the car? No. What's the so what's the grade, man? I mean, he didn't play bad. Definitely
no, I will say this. I don't think there was a drop-off.
No, and that's the best part about the unknown. What was the unknown with Alex is, well, what if he comes in and it's actually way worse?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that happened. No,
right, and I don't think that's going to happen. He actually seems very cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah. I think he looks like he's got command of the offense.
Yeah. I'll say this:
arm strength. I don't think he doesn't have the arm that Petras has.
I don't think so either.
But he has the ability to make some nice throws. And again, it's second really game. You know, there's still a lot to be determined.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what though, he's got a couple young dudes to get the ball to, especially Keegan Johnson.
That
holy hell. This How guy. The hell
can we talk about Keegan Johnson? That guy's just the playmaker.
Well,
the Hawks playmaker.
It's what I was going to say was if you look at Padilla's two touchdown passes, let's analyze it real quick. Okay. So he's 11 of 24, two of those 11 go for tutties. One of them is to a wide open Charlie Jones, just absolutely broke his guy on the outside and ran a just right down the field.
Yeah, and he put a great ball on him and ran for a touchdown.
Perfect. Which I think
he put another one out there for Charlie Jones to make an awesome catch on.
Right.
And then you had what should have been a 3-yard loss somehow turned into a touchdown.
Right. And I think that Keegan Johnson play is a perfect example of, well, if Keegan doesn't make some insane karate matrix play there, there's people in the stands calling for Brian's head because it's a -3. Right. But no one thinks about that when Keegan runs down the sideline for a touchdown. They're thinking, we're the fucking best. Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Good play call, Brian. Fuck yeah. Yes. Isn't that funny? Not only that, hey.
Yeah, I just cost you $15. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, it was funny. And not only that, but do you guys remember what the play call was before that and what the situation was? The play right before that. We were 3rd and 12.
Oh yeah, he ran the ball on a 3rd and
we ran it with long. We ran it with Goodson on 3rd and 12, and he got 13. Another play call where if we don't get it and we end up kicking a field goal, the whole crowd is like, "Brian runs it on 3rd and 12. Are you kidding me?"
So I don't hate that play call. It's a low percentage play call. Not the draw. I mean, draws work sometimes. Not in the 3rd and long situations because as a defender, you kind of expect it in the back of your head, but like a design run, especially versus sub packages, Minnesota did this to us on Saturday, and you'll see it do other teams do it to us as well. When you get in like your pass sub packages, so you have your pass rushers on the D line, and you're playing Iowa plays a lot of two man defense, so you got a lot of eyes looking away from the quarterback, looking away from the ball. It can actually be a really advantageous time to run the ball. So every now and then you got to pull it out to keep them honest. And it ended up working out really well that time.
Got like 13, needed 12. And the next play, we throw that pass out to Keegan, which also, by the way, you know, we're a yard or a one step break away from that going to the house too. Like football is such a game of inches. It's nuts. Keegan grabs that ball. The outside guy, the corner, tackles high, falls over top of him, and the inside guy actually sort of goes low, which creates this like.
So like they counteract each other.
It was like when you take that little the toy you find in the science classroom with the balls that show momentum, and you take both outside ones, and you swing them in at the same time, and the middle balls don't do anything; they don't go anywhere. That was Keegan Johnson. That was a physics play. And so then both those guys end up on the ground. Keegan spins out of it. And it's not that it's just he got lucky, because that kid has shown time and time again when he's had the ball that for, especially for a freshman, he's got some really, really elite balance and strength for a freshman wide receiver. I'm not versed on pre-2013, but I don't think we've had a freshman receiver come in with as much talent as Keegan definitely in the last 8 years. Germanique Smith was close if he could have just gotten it figured out off the field, but Keegan Johnson. And then
I don't think he was at Keegan Johnson's low.
I don't either. And before that, I don't know. It was probably DJK realistically. So Keegan is special.
Yeah, he's the listed starter this week.
Yep. He was also listed as a starter officially for the first time, even though he's basically been getting starter reps the last few weeks. And I said to Lauren during the game, I was like, it's awesome that he's playing so great, but I hope he plays like just not great enough so that we get him for 4 years instead of 3. Every time this happens, I'm like, how long can we keep these guys? So, you know, a win's a win. 27-22. It wasn't pretty.
No, it wasn't pretty. And you look at the stat sheet, we lost every key metric. Time possession, 40-20.
Bullied.
That was the one I couldn't believe. We won a football game getting dominated.
We actually had it for less than 20, 19 something.
It was 40-19 to 19-41. So yeah, basically
unbelievable.
We lost the turnover battle 1-0. Total yards 409 to 277. Rushing 189 to 71. You look at this in the usual formula for Iowa to win a game, especially in the Big Ten. We didn't win any of the metrics we want to win. We want to control the time possession. We want to run the ball and stop the run, and we want to win turnovers.
Yeah, if you if you show this stat line without the final, to like, you know, just, hey, here's this stat line.
I think it's impossible.
Guess what the final score is? I bet the average response would be that the Minnesota stat line by
17.
I'm very curious if that would have been the only outlier in Coach Davis's journal. You know, like back when I told you guys about Coach Davis's, like, whatever it takes, the wit chart, and it was big plays, turnovers, and time of possession, I think. And if we lost all three of those, Coach Davis had never in his career won a game. So I think Brian might have just got one of those.
Yeah.
So big plays, we gave up two for touchdowns. Hankins got beat twice. And then, well, we had obviously had a few big plays, more than a few actually. I can think of three that led. So Charlie Jones touchdown, Charlie Jones big catch on like the five, and Keegan Johnson's.
I would add in there Caleb Shudak's field goal from 50.
Yeah, sure.
Wow,
that's a big play.
Are we finally going to get a Groza?
No, because he doesn't have enough.
No,
where we won this game is in the red zone.
Yeah,
we made Minnesota settle for the field goals that
I was just gonna say.
I'm honestly surprised. You know, they kicked one from like the two. It's like PJ Fleck's got a reputation of being a little bit of a aggressive guy. I think they end up going for a couple of those, maybe a couple punching in, but that's where we won. We made them kick field goals, and
we made them kick
hard,
four.
Hard to win by scoring 3 points.
We made them kick four, and we blocked one of them, and. You know, not that that was, you know, you look at that.
That was like a 53-yarder.
There's a decent chance they missed that, and it just ends up right where we got it anyway. But
still cool.
Still cool, and it's another example of them not finishing a drive, right, where touchdowns really make a difference. And, you know, I was surprised that the boys went for it on 4th-and-1 after Goodson's 10-yard run turned out to be a 9.5-yard run with about 5 minutes left. Let me find it. We're down here. 7-play drive right here. We start with a 5:28 left on the clock. We are up 2 points, and we go pass incomplete. Which I think this is interesting. On this drive, on both first downs, we actually threw the ball. With 5 minutes left, right? So that's – take notes, fans who are pissed that we just – oh, we're so predictable. All we do is run the ball. Well, we came out on 1st-and-10 at our 25 and threw with Alex Padilla. And then we did it again after we got the 4th down and threw again. Now, both were incomplete, and that hurts. But at least we were throwing. But Goodson runs for a 1-yard gain, and then
– and then we go for our own 35, only up 2 at this time.
Up 2 – with 4:04 left on the clock.
That's aggressive.
And boy,
when we stopped, they attempted a field goal from right where we snapped the ball at.
They probably are already in range to make one and to win the game without gaining any yards.
Right.
And they're going to run the ball. And hey, guess what? They run it pretty effectively, 180 yards on us. So they're probably going to drain that clock 1 or 2 minutes and at least kick a field goal to go up. And we've got a serious 2-minute drill to go 80 with Alex Padilla.
Yeah.
But so somehow
you can point at that, that getting that first down as being huge. You can talk about the previous play is Dane Belton knocking down the 2-point.
Oh my God. Dane jumping at the perfect time and just getting a finger on that ball. Now, I don't know looking at the replay, if even if he gets it out there, I forgot who was in coverage, but
it would have been close. It would have been close.
Would have been close.
Would have been who could close first.
Right. But D Belt makes a massive play to keep that 2-point conversion out. And that was a sigh of relief, but wow. I didn't know if they got that first down when they went for it on first and they gave it to him. And that place was one big sigh of relief when the ref went like this, first down. And I was like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, that's the pain in the stomach. We end up punting anyway, and that's where Torrey Taylor comes up big.
Well, we got some milk 2 minutes off the clock. So
yes, 4:04 at that moment when we go for it, and we end up punting. It actually only ends up being a minute off the clock. But we take another minute down and give them only 3:08 to work with. And Torrey Taylor,
they had to burn some timeouts, I believe. After
yes.
That.
Yeah. Torrey Taylor drops it on the 10, boys. We like that a lot. Now, Drake, you texted, you were actually watching the game at this point. We ran a game with old 9-7 Zach Van Valkenburg, and it was ran to perfection on that play.
If I'm be honest, he was a little slow.
He was slow?
Yeah, man. He made Logan Lee have that arm out there a long time. He should have gotten called for that. Like, if Van Valkenburg is quicker to the edge, it's a little less obvious.
Yeah.
You know.
Talk about it.
So what he's talking about is everyone does this.
Yeah.
It gets called sometimes as defensive holding, is you grab the guard and bring him with you a little bit. And
that's the play of the game right there, dude. Logan Lee held that guy, and thank God the ref held held the flag.
It left it left a red sea, and credit the DBs for giving him time. Valk came through and smoked Morgan, 7-yard loss on 2nd and 10, and put them at a 3rd and 17, basically insurmountable. And this is then the time where Kevin and I got up and left the stadium. We're like, okay, game's over. Defense, Kevin, how'd we look? What's the grade for the defense this game? We actually held Minnesota to below their rushing average, as bad as
it looked. Because, well, so Minnesota has just been doing nothing rush the ball because they don't have a very good passing game. We gave up 2 big plays for touchdowns. One was a mental error. Another one just got beat. And we struggled at times to stop the run. It was interesting. They were doing that little stretch play and doing a cutback. So when you stretch a defense out, even if guys are in gaps get pretty big. And that makes it harder to make plays in those gaps. So we didn't tackle great again. Our tackling hasn't been great since the bye week.
What's going on, dude?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Does it make you mad?
Oh, it makes me very upset.
Okay. Do we need to send
finish tackles, Kevin's blood boils.
Do we need to send Kay Ward in and run a little extra tackling circuit over the next?
Not me. I'm not good at tackling.
You got to run the drill.
Well, all you got to do to run the drill is have a raspy voice and say, hit.
Well, you're qualified. Now, I'm curious, defensively, in the first half, and I wasn't paying attention, which kind of made me mad now that I try to be good at this and recall during the pod. Did we have Kayvon in, and then in the second half, we switched to Justin came in and we ran 3 linebackers and D Belt went back and played safety more. So
that's what we know. They switch between, they call it, if we have the 5 DBs, they call it cash, and Dane Belt.
Right.
Which is the same as the outside backer.
Right. And it seemed like we were running that in the first half, and Dane was having a little bit of trouble in the run game. So then we brought him back and put Justin in, and it looked like that helped a little bit, but I could be very wrong.
To my knowledge, we were still kind of going back and forth.
Okay. All right.
But they usually do that based off of personnel in the game.
Sure.
So if they're in a run heavy personnel, usually 22, 12, then they'll be in there with the Leo.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, 12 personnel is 1 back, 2 tight ends. 22 is 2 backs, 2 tight ends.
Anything where they're
the best personnel in the world.
Anything where they're probably running the ball. 22 is the best.
You know, that's what Minnesota wants to do. They haven't been able to really have a passing game despite Tanner Morgan being there as longer than Jordan Bohannon's been at Iowa.
Football was founded on 22 personnel, Clover.
It was. You're right. It's part of that modernization that some people would enjoy more of from the old headman KF. People don't like 22 anymore.
Hey, know? Some people run it really well.
That's the thing, is if you execute it, most personnels work if you execute them, right?
Yeah. So
speaking of execution, George just executed a very nice corner route and scored on Monday Night Football.
Oh, did he really?
Shout out to former.
That's great and not good for my guy. Fantasy team, because I'm playing against him. So that's tough. But yeah, the defense, I mean, we allowed 22. It's back under that 24 that we had so long. 20,
so the red zone defense gets an A+. Big plays don't hit our goal there. Run game don't hit our goal there. Didn't cause any turnovers. Overall, you know, they didn't play bad, but very below what's become our expectation, in my opinion.
Okay. Could be better. Jack Campbell had 17 tackles, which puts him at 100 tackles on the year. He's averaging 10 per game. I really hope that that guy doesn't leave for the NFL. And we're going to talk about potential some individuals here when we come back from our second break. All right, 20 more minutes with the walk-ons. There's more or less. You get 20 more minutes with Drake Kulik, the mullet, the Nashville shirt. He's prepping for the move to the promised land, as some may say. And Kevin, the stash is looking less prominent because the beard is starting to grow back in a little bit. But Movember, right? You know, doing it for the men's health. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that you're doing it for my health. What was that? Oh, that's the prostate exam. Yeah. Yeah, don't have to worry about those yet. You know?
Hey, anytime you want, I'll give you one.
Well, unless you're Drake, then you get all kinds of things shoved up your
backside. They put cameras up your ass, bro.
Yeah. They're trying to figure out your digestive system. Anyway, bring you back.
You put those pictures on OnlyFans?
On our Patreon. Next time he goes to the, what are they called? A gastrologist. Next time he goes, he's going to have him just take snapshots, and that's going to be on the Patreon extra content. So sign up for that. You get the Discord discount.
You get to see how tight my little anus is.
Wow. Okay. By the way, if you are part of the Walk-On Army, or this is a great reason to join, when we drop our merch on this day, Tuesday, the 15th, the 16th of November, if you're a Patreon member, you actually get 10, 15, or 20% off your order with a code that will be released to the Patreon feed. And so if you're going to buy merchandise from us and you aren't signed up for the Walk-On Army, you might as well sign up because you're paying for that subscription with the discount you're getting on the merchandise. So what are you doing? Go join. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Couple individual notes as we leave this podcast and we move on. 24-hour rule. In this case, it was 48. I don't know if you guys saw this, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I'll be a little bit hypocritical, but just because we're the noise. Tyrone Tracy put out on Twitter a little tweet, and then untweeted it back. He deleted it.
Yeah, because everyone knows that does stuff.
Right. Said something along the lines of, why not use a Swiss Army knife if you have it? Right now, here's how I saw this tweet as a part of the more grander scale of what Twitter is to me and who I follow. I was flipping through and it was like, okay, Elon tweeted, cool, Caitlin Clark basketball update. All right, there's a Bitcoin update. Okay, Tyrone Tracy isn't happy with how he's getting the ball. All right, like I scrolled right through it. It was nothing to me. But
tell me you scrolled right over Elon's tweet and it meant nothing to you.
I scrolled right over Tyrone's tweet.
Oh, well, you likened it to all those other ones, though.
I liken all those tweets the same. I literally am scrolling through all of them and none of them get my attention to where. And this really, this is grimy to me. When fans see tweets like that and they screenshot them, right? And they feel like I'm going to screenshot that. He's going to delete. Ooh! My Cheeto fingers just got a little screenshot. Something to nibble on, right? And then they go and post them in the look at, oh, Tyrone Tracy. Like, dude, the guy's just frustrated. Let's think about it, right? Like, he was supposed to be our guy.
I'll tell you what, it's a good thing that we didn't have Twitter, man, because I probably would have said something stupid too. Just
this.
Throughout the 5 years.
You guys follow me. I've said multiple things that are more stupid than that in the last 3 years since we've been out.
Yeah, of course. But no, this, like Drake said, this is exactly why as a player, you know, our senior year, we have our senior meeting with, you know, the seniors. And
oh, you were adamant, group Kevin.
KF, and he's like, you know, am I wrong about this Twitter thing? You know, like, you think you guys should to be able to tweet? And I like raise my hand. Absolutely fucking not.
That's exactly that was it, your exact quote, Kevin. You raised your hand And you said, absolutely fucking not. You were very vocal about that.
And I was very adamant against us having Twitter. There's nothing good comes from it.
And I think
it's so true. Twitter's such a cesspool and kids can't see through it because they're so intoxicated by it.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, is this tweet a big deal?
It could have been way not. Could have been way worse.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look. Okay?
It's a bad look.
And he's frustrated. Okay. I understand it. Like you say, he's supposed to be our guy. He was one of our representatives that went to Chicago for the Big Ten media.
Right.
You know, like we expected him to be our guy and, you know, not getting the ball a whole lot, you know, some of that's on him, some of that's on Brian, some of that's on the quarterback play. All in all, you know, you're frustrated. Sure. Twitter is not the place to go for that. And you know, as a senior. Yeah.
I believe he's a junior, a fourth year junior.
Old enough to know that's not where you handle that business. You go to your position coach that you're not getting enough reps. You go to the offensive coordinator that you feel like you should be helping the team out more, getting the ball more.
Hell, go to the KF. Head
coach and say, hey, like, coach, I was your guy. You sent me to Chicago. I feel like I can help this team by helping out more. Twitter is the absolute last place to take any sort of personal beef, grudge, vendetta, just frustration in the world. Twitter is the worst therapist in the world. You will get no one to actually make you feel better. And there's going to be a hell of a lot of people making you feel worse.
And I wish that our fans understood that from both angles. And I actually have some really relevant, a personal story for this too. But from the one angle, the only thing he's getting from fans, it was the first tweet I saw, was like, well, then maybe you should fucking catch the ball, dude. Come on. Come on, guy. Hey, now. Like, what does that do for us, right? What does that do?
Fingers were cheesy.
Man, they were cheesy, man. He was in the extra puff bag, dude. And what does that do? Like, you feel tough now because you told one of the Hawkeyes that they can't catch the ball? Does that feel good? That feel good, huh? Like, okay, you're perpetuating this negative bubble that now surrounds.
Here's the thing, man. It's like, I personally don't care if, you know, if you as a player are going to put stuff like that on Twitter, you got to fully expect to get it right back in your face.
Absolutely. I still look down on the fans now, who then interact with them.
To just tweet at someone who hasn't tweeted anyone, God, you suck. I hate your family and they should all go die because I didn't cover my spread today. Those are the Twitter. Those are the Cheeto Fido Pinger people that we don't need.
Okay? Right. Well, yeah. And then on the other side of things, you know, Tyrone at least had the idea of like, I'm going to delete that. That's going to cause too much. I wish some of our fans, some of the fringe fans, would also delete some of their shit as well.
I wish you would delete some of your tweets.
Well, you know, it's part of the game, right? 2014, I had been given the job. Kevin and Drake can attest to this. I was given the long snapper job. There wasn't another person in that building who had a clue what they were doing after Casey Kreider left. It was me. It was only me.
You beat the option of just going for it on every fourth down.
Correct. Right. We went into spring ball in the 2014 season, spring, and KF had a decision to make. It was, we either put Kluver out there and hope he gets the job done, or we roll.
Which we know is an extreme liability because we're asking him to block,
which we're blocking
scholarship athletes.
Right. We're asking this pudgy 5'10 kid from Marshalltown. He's got too many majorites in his belly. And we can see it. It's muffin topping over those yellow pants. And we're asking him to block 4- and 5-star, 6'4, 245-pound athletes coming right down the windpipe. Okay. We either go with that option or we just go for it on fourth down. Somehow we chose the first option. Okay. And you talked to KF about that one because I agree. It wasn't a good decision.
It's because you had a personal protector behind you. If you didn't have the personal protector, yeah, we'd probably have to go for it.
Yeah. I had Q Alston behind me who looked like the other athletes that were running at me. Nonetheless, that's funny, whatever. I was, I had a bad reputation in the first couple of years. Part of it was because I had been given the job. Part of it was because I'm just a mouthy guy in general. I was very confident about my abilities and I wasn't scared to really tell people about that. The problem is no one cares if you're confident at snapping a ball between your legs. Like, just do it and and get it over with. And I wasn't necessarily the best guy off the field at this point in my career. Right. So not only me, but I was also associated with Connor Kornbrath, Dylan Kidd. The specialists were in a bad spot in 2014, just in a bad spot. The rest of the team hated us, and we were told that in an individual meeting with Coach White. There was a time.
What did that feel like to have a coach tell you that your entire group is hated?
I remember it very vividly. You know, still a young guy. Marshall Kane and I were called into Coach White's office. And Coach White, as you have alluded to many times, maybe not the guy that's going to call you into your office and really have a heart-to-heart, really make you feel like he cares about your future family and kids kind of guy. But the one thing he did have was he was up front, and he would just kind of tell you how it is if you needed to be told how it is. And we sat down, and he said, "You guys have to figure this shit out. You two." There's, I think at the time, there's six or seven of us in the specialist room. Marshall and Tyler, you have to figure this shit out, because right now the specialists are looked at as a liability and no one likes you guys. And that's not good for our football team. And I kind of looked at Marshall like, I mean, we looked at each other like, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Right. And so then we had this objective, this sort of personal, not goal. It wasn't like something we woke up and thought about every day, but it was a looming responsibility to then change the perspective of special teams over the next year plus. And I think that we did that successfully. But part of that was, man, we gotta get a little respect from the coaching staff. Like in some instances, like we can't have guys shitting on us and then coaches jumping in, and then like it all turns into just all fun all the time on specialists. There's gotta be a little respect. I went to KF at one point and I was like, hey, and it was a little bit about me personally because I thought I had turned the table finally that summer. And I said, and I went to him and I kind of took it to him and I was like, hey, I want you to tell me if I need to do more, but I feel like I deserve a little bit more respect than we've gotten in the past. And I think that if you watch our group work and us kick and the way we go about practice and the way that we do our things in the weight room, I think that you'll see a difference. And it wasn't so much asking anything from KF. It was more just kind of letting him know, because we didn't always get that one-on-one time. Hey, I want you to pay attention to the work we've been putting in. And sometimes you have to, and he respected that. We had an awesome conversation. And that is sort of how you handle that stuff. I couldn't have, because we weren't allowed to tweet, but I could have gone to Facebook or Instagram and started putting statuses out about how this is bullshit, that the specialists aren't respected and all this stuff, but there's better ways to do it. Right. And there's in the end, no one cares. You know, it's either you or they're going to replace you.
The people on Twitter don't care as long as the team is winning football games.
Right. Well, even in the end, even if the people on Twitter do care, they don't have a lot of decision-making power. Right.
No. And here's the other thing I probably should have said too. You take your problems to Twitter before you take them to, like I said, position coach, coordinator, right, head coach. When you get called into your office, because you are not going and knocking on their door anymore, you are getting called into their office, it's going to be less likely to be a productive conversation like you had, Clue.
It's going to
be like, yeah, what the fuck do you think you're doing type of conversation.
It's not going to be in the same breath, and the room's going to feel a little tighter. And, you know, that's probably the route that Tyrone should go. You know, he needs to, and I agree that, you know, he's a skilled athlete who has made plays for us in the past. Not everyone in this offense is going to be happy. We got five dogs out there. Tyrone is one of five, man, because of what Keegan and Arlen have been able to do. Add Nico and Charlie into that. In an Iowa offense, you're lucky if you're feeding one guy and he's happy at receiver, right? Tavon Smith in 2015. Before that, it was Cavante. You get one guy a year in this offense. Five guys aren't going to eat. There ain't enough on the plate. And so you either have to then reassess what your expectations are as part of that receiving core, or if you think you're the guy and there's no issue There's no problem with this as long as you do it respectfully. If you think you can be a dog and you need more reps, you need more looks, maybe you have to make that personal decision. But it, but complaining about it, I mean, how, what do Keegan and Arlen think of that? You know, what do the rest of teammates think about that? It's gets a little dicey.
Yeah. No, I don't, get me wrong, I feel for the guy.
It's same.
An older leader of the team to, you know, kind of have your role diminish on the field
in front of 70,000 every week.
Forget the 70,000, man. The guys in the locker room.
That too.
Like, so I remember when Monty Hooker took Jake's spot, you know, I think Hooker went in the Penn State game 2017. He really didn't come out after that.
Shout out Jake, by the way, got upgraded to active for the Rams tonight in Monday night.
And that's what I'm saying, you know, kept busting his balls. You know, we had some injuries that year. He got put back in and wins a starting job next year. Captain, picks up his free agent, cut, pick back up, cut,
practice
pick
squad.
Back up, practice squad. You know, for some reason, we're still talking about the kid 3 years later.
Fucking hate it.
It sucks.
It couldn't be any worse for us.
Kid should be working drive through at Checkers. Instead, he's playing in a Rams uni. You know,
right? But you know, football is a "what have you done for me lately" type of sport.
Mm-hmm. All sports are, really. I mean,
Tyrone Tracy had some really, really good plays. Like, you know, back when we had Amir and Brandon, he was like kind of like that third guy. We're like, okay, when those two guys leave, he's going to be our guy. And it just kind of hasn't really materialized. So you got these young guys coming in and getting reps and doing a hell of a job. You really, you can shout off all you want. They're going to put in who they think gives the team the best chance to win. And the only way for you to be in that conversation is to make plays, start like busting your ass at practice. I have no doubt he's still giving up hell of effort at practice.
Same.
That, you know, he's still being a leader of that room. But at the end of the day, like, me and Coach Wallace were tight. All right. I love Coach Wallace. He wasn't putting me in over Ben. Okay. It just doesn't matter.
Right.
Because Ben was the guy who was going to help us win football games more so than me.
There is some reality that has to be accepted. Not necessarily that reality doesn't change, right? Because for you, Kev, maybe Ben gets hurt. Ben blows his ACL out senior year. Holy shit. All of a sudden, well, maybe you're not, I don't know. Maybe you're not, they don't put you in, but someone has to go in, you know?
Well, I mean, Josie got hurt. They put Ben at Mike and I.
And then you played at Northwestern, right? So you never know how stuff's going to go. And
Ben, you're welcome, because the only film that those scouts cared about was you playing middle linebacker. You're playing middle linebacker right now. So you're welcome, Ben. You should let me wear your Super Bowl ring for at least a day every year.
You lease it for one day for what you did for him.
I ain't leasing it. He's going to give it to me.
Okay.
For one day every year. That's what I demand.
And then to finish that conversation on Tyrone and sort of the mindset that goes into that, the more that we've gotten out of college, I call it a little bit like my hippie mindset, but it's more just the mental side of things. When you're in that mode of, I'm going to, you know, even just having the thought to, I'm going to put this on Twitter, right? It's mental energy. Where are you? And those guys, they've got a lot on their plate. They can only put so much energy and so much focus on this, that, the other thing. My advice would be to try and keep your bubble, your own narrative. You write your narrative, right? Every day you wake up and you can decide, this is going to be a good day. I'm going to adapt and react positively to the things that happen in my life today, or I'm going to let life happen to me, right? And there's this negative versus positive mindset that you kind of get yourself into. The more you go down the, I'm going to tweet about being a jackknife. What do you say? A fucking Swiss Army knife. A jackknife is what you do into a pool. Drake's the one doing jackknives and belly flops. The more you tweet about being a Swiss Army knife and, I should be getting used more. And, you know, then that sort of festers in your mind and you go into practice and you start to resent things. And, or you just, you know, like you said, great example with Gervas. You keep your head down and you keep working. Who knows what happens? So, I don't know.
We've talked about it for way too long. It's not productive for anyone. I'm sure they'll get it shored up. But if I had, I don't know how much Twitter is worth on the market cap, but if I could buy up all the stock and just delete it, I would.
You'd buy all the stock in Twitter if you could?
I'd buy all the stock of Twitter, get a commanding share, and we're shutting it down.
Oh, you'd shut it. You shut the whole thing down and just.
Oh yeah, Twitter. The code is being deleted.
And bankrupt yourself, huh?
Yeah. That'd be my gift to the world.
That's the worst financial decision I've ever heard Kevin Ward.
That would be the dopest gift to the world ever. If you just deleted the metaverse, that would be insane.
That'd be incredible. I've got a few other. I've got a few other things on the list, but I'm gonna leave them for. Well, I guess 2 days from now. It's a little short. We're on a short week this week. Pod's on a short week. We got forced into a short game week.
Hey, we're just in shells this week.
We're right back at it with Dickhead Tuesday, dude. I can't take too much contact this week. We're up and at it quick.
We got a special teams meeting early tomorrow morning with the Army, Dickhead Tuesday, and then we're back again Wednesday. It's a short week, man. Hey, you shorten down those weeks, you really condense the good stuff and, you know, the podcast. We're on that slight edge path. We're getting better as the season goes on, right? We'll talk to you guys on Thursday with a little Illinois preview, but it's probably going to go how our last couple of previews have gone. We're going to talk some shit about other stuff and maybe a little bit about Illinois. It's going to be a very similar game that we just played against Minnesota because they don't throw the ball. So let's hope that we can get a similar result as far as win-loss goes. But we appreciate you guys waiting a day for this. We appreciate you guys tuning in. And we appreciate
you checking on us because I think you checked in on us a lot sooner than most of our friends and loved ones would.
Yeah, none of our family asked where we were, and and you guys did. So that shows the loyalty. Go buy that merch, baby. 10 o'clock on the 16th. I'm going to be blasting it all over my social channels, and it'll be on our website and our social profiles as well. So thank you guys in advance. Have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.